We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Wednesday. It's April 24th. It's 2024. So it's 4-24-24. There you go. Joined today by TJ. We got a nice little 7-game MLB slate to talk about here on today's podcast. TJ, the new dad. What's happening, my friend?
Yeah, doing well. Fatherhood's treating me very well so far. I've been obviously very busy with a lot of things going on, but she's sleeping pretty well. She's only crying when she wants to eat so far. So knock on wood, but things are moving pretty smoothly. I am headed out of town for a few days on Wednesday night. And so I'm not going to have my typical weekend content that I'm used to pumping out. So it's going to be a nice kind of relaxing change of pace here the next few days. Not relaxing. I'm going to be busy as hell, but it's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get how that goes. Like, I've taken plenty of vacations where it's like, I love taking my kids on vacation just in general, but it's always exhausting. Anybody that has kids knows, like, how exhausting it is to take kids traveling. So hope everyone's having a fantastic Tuesday night, Tuesday baseball. My slate's going, it's going really well. It would be going a lot better if Rodriguez wouldn't get, and like King and Rodriguez were like two of the guys that I used to pivot off of Lopez a lot, and that's not going great. So played a lot of Max Fried. He was my second highest owned pitcher on the slate today. So that worked really well. I was telling TJ before the show, Never ever do I want to play Pablo Lopez as like massive chalk. So I was very underweight on Pablo Lopez today. And I mean, he pitched like he might actually end up being like okay because of how
everyone else.
It's just weird. So ended up playing a little bit of Logan Gilbert more than I had talked about or wanted on the podcast. Played a lot of Dane Dunning and he did okay. But Gilbert pitched well. So had a lot of King, and he just got shelled in the last inning here, so that kind of stunk, but is what it is. We move on, and Derek Houchman just hit his second home run of the game. The Cubs hit their prop in the first inning, so that's always really good. So now we just need Baltimore to get going. I have a lot of Baltimore. So if Baltimore gets going when we're on the podcast, it'll be a solid day. Hope everyone's having a good one in YouTube chat. What's up, YouTube? We're going to break down this 7-game slate using PlateIQ. You guys, listen, your feedback is heard. You know, you guys have been saying how much you like the PlateIQ breakdowns, and I'm going to try to do this once a week. I'm not always going to remember, but I am going to try to do this once a week. So it's always fun, right? All right, let's get into it and break this one down. Like I said, we got 7 games. We have Oakland at New York is our first one here. Joe Boyle against Clark Schmidt, 8.5 total. The Yankees are a 225 favorite here. Any interest in Joe Boyle?
No, none at all. Can't play a guy he's got like Joe Boyle against the Yankees outside of Oakland. Like, you know, in Oakland, maybe I take some shots on Joe Boyle. But at Yankee Stadium, huge park downgrade for pitching. Guy walks an absolute ton, gets hit home runs against them. I'm not playing any Joe Boyle.
Yeah, I mean, walk rate's really high, like you mentioned, and his strikeout rate is average at best. He's done a great job limiting barrels and, you know, driving some softer contact, which is nice, but overall, not a guy that I think I'm going to get to here against the Yankees lineup that just has a ton of ceiling. So, hey, Tides, TJ is not Tides, just for what it's worth. you guys are both up north for me, so there you go. But going to the other side, we got Clark Schmidt here against Oakland. Any interest here in Schmidt?
Yeah, I think I do, actually. Obviously, I would rather this game to be in Oakland, but Oakland is a very attackable team. Tons of strikeouts on that team. We're projecting the lineup to be a 26.1% strikeout rate. So I'm definitely interested. There are some dangerous lefties like Seth Brown and J.J. Bleday I'm going to be worried about. But Schmidt's been pretty good so far this year. Back-to-back strong games against much better teams. So I think I'm okay with playing some Clark Schmidt, even though he is what looks to be heavily overpriced.
Yeah, I mean, price is a little high, but I think the matchup is really good here. We got Oakland, like you said, they strike out a ton. Schmidt uses his cutter a ton against left-handed pitching, left-handed hitting, sorry. So that's really good. Doesn't really use a fastball. Looks like he used a cutter sinker combo, knuckleball or knuckle curve. And yeah, I mean, looking at the Oakland bats, I think you have to like him here. His strikeout rate through the roof this season against left-handed hitters, 37.8%. The swinging strike rate is a little concerning for me on him. Like, it definitely suggests that like the 37.8% strikeout rate is going to come down a little bit. Last season we saw Schmidt around 18% strikeouts against lefties. So I think we maybe see it in between there, like probably around like the 25-ish% range. So I like this spot. I think that this is a really good spot for him. Got off of Marcus Stroman yesterday because of the price. And yeah, I mean, I think overall, I think Schmidt is fine here. You know, threw 102 pitches last time out, too. That's really good for him. I think he could have, like, 6 really strong innings against Oakland. Any interest here in the Oakland bats?
No, I probably don't get there at all. Like, they're really cheap, so maybe, you know, you do a mini stack, Rooker, Brown, Bleday type of thing. But all the guys I want to play are in the outfield, so they're kind of tough to full stack. Outside of like Giloff and Langoliers, if he's in the lineup. So I probably don't get there a ton. We don't have a whole lot of expensive pitching to get to. And so if I need some salary savings, yeah, maybe I do, but they're not going to be a top target by any means.
Yeah. Langoliers, like, he just keeps hitting home runs. So I definitely don't mind him. You know, Schmidt has had a little bit of reverse splits this season. His WOBA is much higher against righties. His hard hit rate's much higher against righties. So like Langoliers or Roker. And then, like, if Ruiz gets on base, he's always a guy that's a threat to steal multiple bases. So I don't mind that. But overall, probably not going to get to a lot of Oakland here. Going to the other side, Like I said, Joe Boyle's done a good job limiting some stuff this season. Like, I still think this is a spot we definitely want to take advantage of it and just kind of overlook the barrels. And I think this is, again, we're going to play the Yankees and hope that they can get it going. I mean, this is a really good spot for New York.
Yeah, the Yankees have had very, like, a similar start to the season from a DFS standpoint as, like, the Blue Jays, where you got a couple guys producing, but it never seems like the full stack works, except for earlier in the year when the whole back half Cabrera-Wells thing was working seemingly every night. Usually, I would be interested in one-offs of, like, Judge and Stanton, but this is a full stack or nothing spot for me against a guy like Boyle, who a very high walk rate, especially to those lefties. And so I want to get to a ton of Boyle in this spot.
All right, we got Miami at Atlanta.
Sorry, a ton of Yankees against Boyle.
I knew it. I think everyone kind of knew what you meant there. No total in this game. We don't know who's pitching yet for Miami. It sounds like it's probably going to be a bullpen game for Miami. From what I've read, it sounds like Sixto Sanchez is going to start, and then they're going to bring in a long reliever and try to eat up some innings here. But yeah, I mean, not the ideal spot to have like a bullpen type of game here just in general. So any interest here in Renardo Lopez on the other side?
I kind of want to defer to you here as I feel like you're more of an expert for the deep dive on pitchers, because I see 9.2K for Reynaldo Lopez and I go, ha, of course not. I'm not going to play 9.2K for Reynaldo Lopez. He's never been good, but he's literally been ace level this year. Like the hard hits are still there, but the strikeouts are high. He's been really, really good. So I don't really know what to do with a guy that doesn't have the pedigree for this price tag, but early has warranted it.
Yeah, I mean, everyday listeners definitely know what's coming here because we thought he was pitching on Monday, and he was going to be my favorite pitcher on the slate. So here we are 2 days later. He got a couple extra days, and I'm in. You look at some of his advanced stuff, he's top 10% in the league in X batting average, X slugging, X WOBA contact. His XERA is like 2.08, just absolutely fantastic. And then you start to look why, and the curveball has just been absolutely insane. Like, his whiff rate on the curveball is at 55.6%. He's using it with his, like, on top of his slider, and he's getting good stuff out of his fastball. He's yet to give up a home run this season. He's pitching really good. It's really weird. It, like, this isn't what we're used to with Renardo Lopez. We're used to stacking against him, but obviously, like I've said multiple times, the Braves have seen something in him. He's toned down his fastball and he ramps it up when he needs to, it seems like. But overall, like, he's not coming out of the bullpen trying to throw 98. He's averaging 95. He's getting a break on his stuff, and he's just pitching really well. And the Miami Marlins lineup is just bad. You look at plate IQ here, 110 ISO against right-handed pitching, 21% K since the start of last season. It's just not a good offense overall. If we get into more advanced stuff, Miami's 26th in WRC plus against right-handed pitching this season. They're 25th in WOBA, and they're striking out around the 15-16 mark there against righties. So, yeah, I mean, Renardo Lopez, I'm a firm believer at this point, and I'm just going to keep playing him. You know, absolutely. Like, I stacked against him last time against Houston, and he made me look silly. So, love Lopez in this spot, and I think the price is warranted against Miami, even in the Atlanta ballpark here. So, yeah, very interested in him. All that to say, I mean, I really don't have any interest in the Marlins bats. If anything, Jazz is the, like, one guy, but even Jazz is striking out at such a huge clip, even this year. Like, we look at just this season's stats, and, like, this team is just awful. I have no interest in this team.
No, me neither. Brian Dela Cruz is a one-off, maybe just because he's been so good this season, but that's about it.
Yeah, I don't know who they would necessarily use as a long reliever here. I was trying to figure it out, like, pre-show. I think you're going to have to wait and see on what we want to do with the Braves today, just in general. I hate when we don't have like this information, but there's not, I don't think there's a pitcher that's going to come out of the bullpen where you're like, oh, I'm probably not going to play. I'm not going to play the Braves today. So what are your thoughts, just overall, like general thoughts here on the Braves?
Fully's going to depend on ownership. They've been super disappointing so far, like not so far this season. They've had some big games, but like the last week. And so if that leads to very low ownership, the Braves will be my highest owned offense. If the Braves are the chalkiest offense on the slate, I'll probably look to get underweight on them. Olsen, Ozuna are two guys that I basically always try and get a bare minimum even to. Darno's been on an absolute heater. And so it'll be very ownership dependent for me. I would love to stack them as much as possible. If they're chalky, I won't. If they're not, I definitely will.
Yeah, like I was looking through and I have no idea what to expect here as far as like pitching. I mean, they had the doubleheader. What was it, Saturday or Sunday? The Marlins played a doubleheader against the Cubs. And like, I feel like they just need a day to like get these guys extra rest, especially with a lot of these guys hurt. So they're not, it doesn't sound like they'll call up like Meyer. They really want him for the second half of the season. So overall, I don't know who's going to pitch here, but like, as you can look at here with like Plate IQ, Braves fantastic against lefties, Braves fantastic against righties. It doesn't really matter who pitches. It's just, again, I think this is a great spot to attack the Braves bats. I don't typically like to attack bullpen games, but I think Atlanta is an elite offense and you can attack a bullpen game with this offense. They're so good against lefties and righties. It doesn't really matter. Houston at Chicago taking on the Cubs, 8 total in this game. It's a pick 'em game. We got Spencer Argetti against Jameson Taillon. Argetti, any interest in him in this spot?
Argetti, no. Not getting to any Argetti here. Cubs are, I'll play the Cubs. Like that's basically, that's bare to leave, but I like the Cubs offense.
So I will say, like, we are going to be looking at like 10 to 15 mile an hour winds blowing in, and it's going to be cold. Like the game at game time is going to be 45 degrees in this game. I was looking it up because I was so curious on like the weather because of like the total. I was like, it's not like these two guys are elite pitchers by any means. And like, why is the total so low? I think I'm with you. Like I don't really have a ton of interest in playing the pitcher here, Argetti. Like he hasn't pitched deep into a game yet and he continues to struggle with hard hits and WOBA is really, really high. So yeah, I mean, I certainly don't think I want to play him. And Jameson Taillon on the other side, like my initial thoughts was I didn't really have a lot of interest in Taillon. And then I was like, if the wind's blowing in and it's really cold, maybe at 7,500, assuming that he's going to pitch probably 10 to 15 more pitches here, I think I might have a little interest in Taillon depending on the weather tomorrow.
Yeah, if that wind is blowing in, I actually, pardon me, do really like him for tournaments. Only 7,500. On Plate IQ, if you don't mind, swap the Houston's stats to this season. Obviously, this is early in the year so far, but they are not the potent offense that we have expected to see from them all year. Altuve's been lighting it up, but Alvarez has been struggling. Tucker's been, you know, just fine. He's been Tucker. But Bregman's been terrible. He's just really looks like he lost a step. Abreu was the ghost of himself. And if Singleton is in, and he probably will be, he's not much better. So I do like Taillon quite a bit as long as this wind is blowing in here. It's not a super low strikeout stuff, but super high strikeout spot. But it's like you said, as long as that pitch count's going to go up a little bit, I do think there's upside for this price.
Yeah, just again, I want to see what the weather is. Like, if it's going to be some wind blowing in and 45 degrees, like, I think that it's hard not to have a little bit of interest here in Taillon. And, like, I don't want to be that guy, but I'm gonna say it. Like, the Houston Astros looked awful just in general here against Wicks on Tuesday night. So I don't want to be like that one game sample size guy, but like TJ said, this isn't the same offense. They don't strike out a ton, but I'm not really playing Taillon for his strikeouts anyway. I think Taillon's just going to go out and throw like six really quality innings at 7,500 here. And he's not a guy that typically walks people. So, yeah,
obviously,
I mean,
Bregman can do something. Diaz is fine. Pena and McCormick, they're fine. But like, there's only three bats in this entire lineup that we're worried about. Like, legitimately are like, okay, this guy, I don't want to see them in a lineup. It's Altuve, Alvarez, and Tucker. Everybody else, you're really not that worried.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Man, Rodriguez not pitching well. Hate that. Anyway, I need Baltimore bats way more than I need Rodriguez to pitch well. I have some really good teams that have Baltimore stacks and could be a really good night if Baltimore just gets going at all here. So let's talk bats. Houston bats kind of just said it, right? Like, if you're going to attack Taillon, I think you're going to attack him with like lefty power. We're not going to look at the one game sample size that he had this season. We're going to look at last season. He was much better against righties. He struggled against lefties. Hard hit rate way higher against lefties, almost 14.5% barrels last year against lefties. So, I mean, you definitely want to attack Taillon with lefties. So I don't mind like a one-off Yordan Alvarez or a one-off Tucker, but I don't think I'm stacking Houston if the weather is going to be like this tomorrow.
No, me neither. If the weather is going to be really bad, I might just X out the whole team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. I don't hate that idea either. So I'm with you. So like my first thought was definitely interested in the Cubs bats here. We should mention like Bellinger had two balls in a row. Like one of them, he ran into the wall, and then like the other one, it was just weird. And he left the game. It was like a rib injury, they were saying on the broadcast. And so we'll have to see if he's back in the lineup. He has been scorching hot too. He's been hitting the ball really well. So hate to see that, but what are your thoughts here on the Cubs bets?
Yeah, obviously, if it's really cold and there's a big wind blowing in, that's going to drop me quite heavily. But I do still like these guys as a stack. This guy's been walking a ton of bats, absolute ton in two starts. And so I like a patient Cubs offense here filled with walks. I think even if the wind is blowing in, I still think a full game stack is viable. Because I could see the Cubs putting up a lot of runs even without any homers.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to need some homers just on this slate in general. But, yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. I'm going to be checking the weather and checking Weather Edge to see, like, how much the wind blowing in this much affects the ball and how much the cold weather affects the ball. Because, I mean, 45 is cold. And then that's like at the start of the game too. It's definitely going to drop too. Toronto at Kansas City, 9 total in this game. Pick'em game. We got Rodriguez against Marsh. Any interest here in Rodriguez?
This guy is legit. Like as a Jays fan, I'm very excited about him being in the rotation. I do worry a little bit about pitch count ceiling, especially against a strong team like Kansas City with an 8K price tag. I do fear a little bit about what the ceiling is, but if he's going to be super low owned, I'll get there. If he's going to be highly owned, I probably will be underweight just because of that, price tag.
Yeah. I mean, 8K for a guy that we were paying $5K for last start, it's a huge increase in price, which is definitely a little concerning here. So I'm like on the fence because I don't think he's going to go out and throw like 100 pitches. I mean, we have definitely been impressed by the stuff overall. This lineup has some strikeouts in it. It's been a really solid lineup to start the season. And they do have a lot of lefties. In this small sample size, he has struggled a little bit more with lefties and righties. I like the strikeout stuff. I worry about the ceiling for 8K. I think right now, like I wrote him down earlier when I was researching as like in my player pool for pitching. But if he starts getting some ownership, I don't think I will play a lot of him. So it's just going to probably be like an ownership thing for me on Rodriguez today. I like the overall stuff, but if he's going to be chalky, I could pass. Alec Marsh, he probably tilted me the most last start. I had a ton of Baltimore last time out against Alec Marsh, and he pitched really good. Any interest here in Alec Marsh?
I don't think so. Like, he lit it up last game, but this is still a very low strikeout Blue Jay offense. Alec Marsh is not the type of guy that we are used to seeing do that. He's basically had two great and two terrible games this year. Has never gone over 90 pitches. I'm not getting there up at 7K.
Yeah, I was looking at it and I was like, man, he has the strikeout upside goes up way higher against righties this season. And like, it's such a small sample size. They've been attacking him a lot more with lefties. I think we're going to see his numbers come down a little bit against righties. And his numbers against lefties get a little bit worse. I just don't think he's this good against lefties. So I'm probably going to pass on Alec Marsh today. I have interest in the Toronto bats. I think this is a really interesting spot for Toronto. And I'm going to keep saying it, TJ. I think the Toronto bats are just too cheap. Like, they're the stack. You could stack all five of the top hitters in this lineup, and like, it's just not expensive. And Varsho keeps doing it. Like, this guy just keeps hitting the ball. Me and you are on crunch time with Cardi on Thursday, and I can't wait to talk about hot streaks with Cardi. It's going to be so much fun. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to keep playing Varsho regardless if I'm stacking Toronto or not, but I have a lot of interest in the Toronto bats.
Yeah, I don't know why his price isn't going up, because he's just absolutely smacking the ball this year. Makes me feel a lot better as a Jays fan about the Moreno trade. I'm with you. They're way too cheap. Schneider's too cheap. Jansen's too cheap. Varsho's too cheap. The one guy in this offense I am genuinely concerned about is George Springer. Like, I just don't know that he has it anymore. I think he might be falling off a little bit. But the Vlad and Bichette explosions are coming to any day. Turner's been hitting the ball well. I agree with you here. Like, even Kevin Kiermaier's been hitting the ball really well. And he is, like, 2.3K or something. 2.4K now. And Kiermaier's actually been hitting the ball much better as of late. And so this is a very, very cheap stack that'll allow you to kind of go, like, it feels weird to be able to do a Jay stack with like Joe Ryan and Clark Schmidt or Garrett Crochet, but you can do that, or Ronaldo Lopez. Like, you can play two of those four guys with a Jay stack.
Yeah, a lot of interest in Toronto. Other side here, any interest in Kansas City?
As mini stacks, because they have power, like Whit, Perez, Pasquantino, yeah, for sure. Melendez and Velasquez are always fine, but I won't be full stacking here.
Michael says Toronto is inexpensive because they've been gutless since the start of last season. oh, man. Yeah, I mean, they are a team that lets down more than they should, that's for sure, especially with the talent in the lineup. Like, the top half of that lineup is so good. As far as Kansas City, like, stacking Kansas City continues to be so much fun for me. I love playing the Kansas City bats just on a nightly basis. Like, they're 10th in WRC plus. They, I think, have stole the third or fourth most bases this season. I believe in Rodriguez's talent, but I also don't think he'll pitch like really deep into this game anyway. And the Toronto bullpen, it's kind of like hit or miss. They have a few good arms in that bullpen, but overall, like, they haven't been fantastic. So
in the last like 3 days, they've gotten about, I think, three of their main bullpen arms back who weren't here earlier in the season. So that should kind of, that trend should switch back to being stronger.
But also, like, in a, if you're stacking against like a pitcher, right? Like, you are hoping to get that guy out early and get to the bad part of the bullpen anyway. So it doesn't really matter, like, if the good arms are back regardless. So, I mean, I'm going to play Kansas City. I'm going to play some Toronto. We have a lot of offense, a lot of pitching on the slate. This, for a like 7-game slate, there's a lot of different ways to approach the slate for sure.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
We got White Sox and Twins, 6.5 total. This game has a 6.5 total. I don't know if we've had a 6.5 total yet this season. Minnesota's a 200 favorite here. Crochet against Ryan, the Crochet Rocket. Gets the Minnesota matchup. And as much as I've played Minnesota over the last 2 days, I absolutely love this spot for Crochet today. I, again, like, one of the reasons that I don't know if I get to Rodriguez is because I like Lopez so much and I like Crochet so much that I don't know if I'm going to necessarily need Rodriguez today at 8K.
Very high strikeout matchup with the highest strikeout pitcher on the slate, I guess, with respect to Rodriguez, who we don't really know for sure about yet, especially if there's tons of lefties in this lineup. Like if we get Larnach, Kepler, Julian, Kirilloff, 2 to 4 of those guys still in there. Yeah, I think Crochet is undoubtedly the highest upside pitcher on the slate. I think the downside is there heavily too, because he's been giving up a ton of power, and there's a ton of power in that Minnesota lineup. So I think Twins, as a potential stack and as one-offs, I'll want to be overweight, and then I'll definitely be overweight on Crochet.
I'm going to play a lot of Crochet. Like, yeah, he's going to be a core pitcher for me on this slate. Just in general here, like, they can't get all these lefties out of the lineup. Like, even if we look at the bench, they just don't have enough righties to make this lineup fully work. So we're going to get, I assume Julian plays, I assume one of Kepler, Larnach, like one of those guys plays. So, I mean, either way, like, this guy is, his swinging strike rate against righties is 15% this season. So hard not to like Crochet a lot in this spot. So very, very interested in him. The other side of this game, Joe Ryan is 10-4. Any interest here in Joe Ryan?
Yeah. It's the White Sox. My Lopez thing, playing a lot of them, didn't work out, but I don't care. It's the White Sox. I'd be playing you against the White Sox, Stevie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to continue to say this. The White Sox are not a good offense, but they're not striking out. They're putting the ball in play. Like, they even now have, like, Nicky Lopez hitting leadoff, who is, like, a low-power, low-strikeout guy. Joe Ryan does have a much higher, like if we compare Joe Ryan to Pablo Lopez is a 25% K gate guy, like 25 to 28%, just in general. And then, like, if we go to Joe Ryan, he's a guy that's like sitting 29 to 32%. So, like, the strikeout upside is much higher. So, like, at least, like, you're playing a much higher ceiling pitcher here. But I don't know, man, if Joe Ryan is going to be chalk, I think that I can be underweight on him here. Like, I'm not fading Joe Ryan by any means. I didn't fade Lopez, but I think my ending number on Lopez was like 23%. I'm pulling it up. Yeah, 24% was my number on Lopez. So I was half the field on Lopez, depending on the tournament you're looking at. So if Joe Ryan's going to be chalk, I'm out. I think that Crochet, Miller, Lopez, Schmidt, all these guys have upside as well. And the White Sox, again, they're not a heavy strikeout team. They're not an awesome offense, but, I mean, they're not a heavy strikeout team. So, bats? Any interest in the White Sox bats here?
No, I don't think so. Eloy Jimenez, you can always play, but that's it. And Sheets. Like, Sheets is fine, too. Jimenez and Sheets.
Not, yeah, I mean, I like playing Gavin Sheets. I just don't know if I'm going to play him against Joe Ryan. Like, Joe Ryan did struggle a lot more against lefties last year. But overall, I'll probably pass. And then on the Minnesota side, I've been playing them a lot this week, but I think this is a spot I'm going to pass on them as well.
Yeah, I don't like Minnesota. I feel like if I'm playing a lot of full disclosure, I'm not playing Wednesday night because I'm going to be on the on a plane as the slate locks. But if I were, I play 150 every night, so I'd be making sure I'm overweight on twin stacks because I know I'd be having like at least 40% Garrett Crochet in this spot, and so I'd want to make sure that I'm overweight on Minnesota as well, just because there is a lot of power in that lineup.
No air Wi-Fi. Like making lineups on the plane is like one of my favorite things to do when I'm flying. So, hey, to each his own, TJ, to each his own.
It's a 1 hour flight and it's over lock. And so I'm highly doubting that they're going to be offering Wi-Fi up there.
I mean, all right. I understand. I'm not, I don't, like I said, I don't have a ton of interest in the Minnesota bats. Like, I would have interest a little bit in like Jeffers because I love playing Jeffers against lefties, but he's 4,100. He's just not cheap enough to be like that cheap catcher play for me today. Seattle at Texas. Hey, if you listened to us on Logan Gilbert yesterday, cash those chips, man. What an outing from him. He pitched really well. He had a few walks, but overall he pitched really well in that game against Texas. Texas offense struggled against him. This one is Bryce Miller against John Gray, 9.5 total. Texas is a 125 favorite here. Any interest here in Bryce Miller?
I don't really like playing people against Texas ever. And so probably not getting to any Bryce Miller, I don't think. I get 9,400. I just like he's played great. I just don't know if I can do it against Texas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Probably not for me.
Yeah, I mean, if he's gonna be alone, I think that he's a guy that I might put in my player pool. I don't like him as much as I like Gilbert on Tuesday slate, but he's been pitching really good. His strikeout stuff has been super legit. His misses have been fantastic, and like he's doing a great job limiting power against him. So I don't necessarily hate the idea of playing Miller. I wish he was a little bit cheaper. Like they would entice us a little bit more for this matchup. John Gray on the other side here. Any interest in Gray?
Not overly, like, I don't. 8,300 is a decent price tag for him. Seattle has the strikeout. So, yeah, if he's going to be low owned, I'll maybe take some shots in tournaments in an MME style build, but he's not first on my list. Like, he comes behind Ryan, Lopez, Schmidt, Crochet, and then, like, is right in line with Rodriguez for me.
Yeah, I mean, I like John Gray a lot too. I think I actually like John Gray more than I like Rodriguez today. I think the strikeout matchup for John Gray is higher. A lot of people are gonna like click his name and be like, oh, this guy just threw out a relief the other day. He basically just threw his bullpen outing against Atlanta. He was working in the bullpen, like throwing a bullpen, and they were on like a 17 in 17 stretch. And they brought John Gray in to throw almost two innings against Atlanta in that one. So basically just threw his like in between bullpen because he was kind of like they were just in like a weird spot. So I'm not worried about John Gray's pitch count or anything like that. And this is again like a fantastic strikeout matchup for John Gray. Like he even in his struggles this season, he still has a big strikeout rate. And this team strikes out a lot, like 25.3% for this current or for beginning of last season. And if we just look at this year, almost a 28% K rate this season for Seattle. So love the upside here for John Gray. Let's talk Seattle bats. Any interest here in the Seattle bats?
Probably not as a full stack, but I do like the power one-off. So Cal Raleigh, Julio Rodriguez, would be my main two targets. Somebody like Polanco is fine, but Rodriguez and Raleigh would be the first two for me here.
Those are the three names that I had written down: Rodriguez, Riley, and Polanco. I will say, like, I'll continue to point this out. Julio Rodriguez, 0.03 ISO this season against right-handed pitching. His WOBA is under 300.
That'll be changing after tonight.
Yeah, I mean, either way, though, like, he has just continued to struggle. So Kyle Riley hit a home run. I know that. I know Cheese was really Julio high on Kyle too. Riley.
That's why Julio hit a home run today. That's why I was bringing that up.
Watch out. They're going to start flowing. Right. Any interest in the Texas bats here?
I don't really think I want to pick on Miller. He's weaker against lefties, and so Corey Seager I think is interesting as a one-off, but there's just, like, if you're playing 150 and you wanted to stack up the lefties, and Texas is so strong of a team that you can always play them. So in MME, yes, they would be in my pool. Single entry, five entry max, I wouldn't be considering them.
So the Griffin Canning is a Cy Young tonight, and the Angels offense is good. All right, let's go.
Angels offense would have a very good chance at putting up the highest total of the day if the Diamondbacks didn't put up 14.
Weird. What a weird slate. Weird slate.
Weird last 2 weeks of slates.
Yeah, like, this offense doesn't hit this well. Anyway, all right. Moving on. If I was going to play, sorry, I got distracted because I was a little tilted. If I was going to play the bats for Texas, it'd be a stack. I felt so good about, like, my Grayson Rodriguez, like, throwing 16.5 outs today. Whoa, that's not going to happen. San Diego at Colorado is where we finish it out. No total in this game, but it sounds like Ty Blotch is going to pitch for the Rockies in this one. They called him up. So it sounds like he'll pitch in this one. And then Waldron's pitching for San Diego. any interest here in Waldron?
What's a knuckleball do at altitude, Stevie?
I have no idea. So a knuckleball, I would assume a knuckleball is going to knuckle less, but I don't know if that's good or bad. Because changeups aren't affected by altitude. That's one of the reasons I love Michael King today, just in general. But, like, so changeups are not affected, but, like, when you get, like, breaking sliding pitches, they're going to be affected. Sinkers are affected. I assume a knuckleball would be affected. Waldron's not very good anyway, so I don't
either think way, like, no. Yeah. Sorry, either way, no.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it matters regardless. But yeah, I mean, again, one of the reasons that I liked King is because, like, his changeup's so good. But Waldron, he kind of stinks. He's not very good. He doesn't miss bats. And even as bad as the Rockies are, I don't really have any interest in him in this spot. And I can tell you, I mean, if Ty Blotch is the starter in this game, the Padres are the top stack on the slate, and it's not close. So I'm not playing Blotch if he is the pitcher here.
No, absolutely not, especially if we get Machado back. We're going to be loading up on San Diego. The only reason you wouldn't play this team on this slate is ownership.
I don't think Machado will be back for this game, for what it's worth. I don't know if the baby has come yet or not, but yeah, I don't think he'll be back. They usually take their full 3 days. Bats. I mean, I basically just said it. Like, if this is Blotch, I'm going to stack San Diego each and every way that I can. Like, I don't care who it is. I'll make sure I have 1 through 9 lefty, doesn't matter. Like, give me all the Padres bats if it's going to be Blotch.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
And honestly, I absolutely love the Rockies. Again, like, the Rockies offense is not one that I have been liking a lot this season because they're not very good. But this is a game in Coors with Waldron on the mound. I have a hard time not having a ton of interest here in the Rockies bets.
Yeah, I really like the Rockies as well. I would love if they started putting Nolan Jones higher up in the order. It's really annoying how he's always batting sixth. This feels like when Kyle Tucker was always batting fifth or sixth for Houston. But McMahon, Blackman, Tovar, Montero, Jones, even a little Doyle or Bouchard, if he's in there, I don't mind either.
Excuse me, I was yawning. Doyle's been hitting the ball really well recently. Like, he's still striking out at a pretty high clip, but he's actually been hitting the ball pretty solid. So there is that. Brendan Rodgers hit a grand slam against King. King was up on him 0-2 and threw him a pitch like right down the middle. It wasn't like even remotely close to a bad pitch with 0-2. Well, it was a bad pitch, but it wasn't a good pitch. So it was awful. It made me aggravated. Anyway. All right, let's play the morning grind game. A lot of front end offense, a lot of back end offense at the San Diego Colorado game, and then a lot of good pitching in between. So one of those really interesting slates. A lot of different ways to approach the slate. So, all right, morning grind game under 8K to get six or more strikeouts. Who do you like today?
Jameson Taillon. I think he's kind of the only answer.
Yeah, Taillon at 75, I think, is a good one. I don't think any of these guys get there, just in general.
Honestly, you know who I think would be the next likely one would be Joe Boyle.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees strike out. I'm just going to say Mr. Spaghetti, but I don't think he gets there. So, what a name. Spencer Argetti is definitely... Everyone has to call this dude Spaghetti, right? Like, I feel like it's just an automatic. Over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust today?
Let's go with Bryce Miller.
All right. I think a lot of these guys get there just in general. I think there's a lot of good options up here. I feel like if John Gray is off, he might not get there. So give me John Gray. I'll definitely be playing John Gray. But if he's off, I feel like he could struggle in this one. Over 4K to hit a home run, not in cores. Who's going yard today?
I think going yard on this wonderful Wednesday, April 24th. Is that you can tell how obviously that is me stalling. I'm going to go. Travis d'Arnaud is going to do it again.
Travis d'Arnaud in the bullpen game. I like it. I mean, it's hard for me not to pick one of these Yankees bats. It's just trying to figure out which one I want to pick. I'm going to go Judge. Watched a lot of his at-bats tonight, and they were much solid at-bats. Give me Aaron Judge to hit a home run today against Boyle. Under 4K to get two hits. Who's a cheap bat that you like today?
Dalton Varsho.
Yeah, took my guy. Absolutely love Varsho. I'm right there with you. Ton of interest in him in this spot. I'm going to quickly try to find somebody not in cores here. Because you messed me up. I wish we knew. Wish we knew who was going to pitch for Miami. Because we do have a couple Braves bats that are cheap. I'm stalling because I really don't know. Oh, man, I really don't know. I guess give me Rizzo. They're probably not going to be good hits. I know he had a home run on Tuesday night, but they're probably not going to be good hits. But give me Rizzo to get two hits today. I probably don't end up playing a lot of Rizzo, but I'll definitely play Rizzo in my Yankee stats. Stack to score six or more runs, not in cores. Who do you got?
I feel like I just shouldn't say the Braves, but the Braves.
Yeah, I mean, I think Atlanta is a great offense. Again, I love San Diego today. We don't let cores happen in this game, so that's always fun. I'm going to go Toronto against Alec Marsh. I think this is a good spot for Toronto. I think they're going to get the job done today. And, I'm going to be playing them, so might as well give them out as my stack. Any pick'em plays or player props that you like on this slate?
I have not looked ahead at those ones yet, if I'm being fully honest. So, no, not for me.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm going to Garrett Crochet here over 6.5 strikeouts. I think this line is a little too low. I think that Crochet is a guy that has shown us that he has big strikeout upside. We know that there's a lot of strikeouts in this Minnesota lineup. So this was one that I've been waiting for it to just pop up just to see what the line was going to be. I was like, do they give it to us at 6.5? They gave it to us at 6.5 on DraftKings at +105. Absolutely like this one here with Crochet. I'm guessing you haven't looked and seen if there's any like lines or anything that you like either.
Nothing that overly stands out the night before. I do think it'll be interesting to look at. No, there isn't even a line yet on the Miami game. Blue Jays -120 would probably be my favorite one. Cubs -115 I like quite a bit as well. That would be it in terms of standouts.
I assume the Padres Rocky line is going to come in at 10.5. I like the over. I'm going to take over 10.5 in that one. It's not out yet because the Rockies haven't officially announced who they're going to pitch, but if it's Blotch and it comes in at 10.5, I like the over in that game. I think there's going to be a lot of runs scored in that one. I was also looking at some of the Yankee stuff, and I like the Yankees over 4.5. You can get it at -115 on a couple books right now, so I like that as well. That's going to wrap it up here for Wednesday's podcast. We're back Thursday. We got an early slate on Thursday. Hope everyone has a fantastic day, and we'll see you again tomorrow.